your job, I'd be in jail. So, see, fathers aren't really meant to be mothers, and because we don't have what it takes. And so that's why ladies get to have this phenomenal role given to them by the Lord. We'll talk to you later, David. Okay, here's the introduction here this morning for our Mother's Day in the notes. Every day we see heartwarming signs of the extravagant love of God. Every time a mother kisses her baby, holds a child's hand, wipes away a tear, listens to another story, God is opening up his heart to the world. Every scolding, every disappointment, every repeated instruction is outweighed by memories of wilted dandelion bouquets, works of refrigerator art, popsicle stick crafts, sticky kisses, and tearily penitent, "I'm sorry, Mommy." How God rejoices as he sees his perseverance displayed through moms of every culture, language, and ethnicity. There's an opportunity that is given to mothers to display God's love in a way that no one else can. No one else enters into a relationship that can carry out that display like a mother. Now, before some of the moms go, "Good grief, don't put me in that category. I can't really measure up. I don't do it that well." The goal is, this is what's made available to us. In our scripture verse at the top of the page from 2 Peter 1:3, we're saying that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need to live a godly life, everything we need to live out the vocation or the calling that's been given to us. And so for moms, God has given us, in the plan of salvation, has given you everything that's needed to do a perfect job. Are we going to do it perfectly? Well, no, of course not. We're not perfect. But the provision is there. I want to look at three this morning. Points 1, 2, and 3 spell out joy. But number one, the J, you might guess, is Jesus. And this isn't just the Sunday school rendition here. One of the provisions that God gives mothers for the job they've been given is himself. There's, on the 24/7 responsibility of mothers, I mean, when does a mother stop being a mother? When the child is 10 or 18 or 38 or 58? You know, they never stop being the mother. And so there's a lifelong responsibility that God calls them into, and for the task, he gives them himself. And so these verses, like the first one here, Matthew 28:20, the second part, right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we call this the Great Commission, but there's a truth that Jesus puts in here, not specifically just for mothers, but for mothers also. He says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He's speaking that to his disciples, which include mothers, obviously, as disciples. "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." One of the things that mothers, I think, deal with a lot, especially with preschoolers, is a sense of isolation, never getting out, always being in charge, always being on call, always being responsible, even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and then 3 o'clock in the morning, and then 3:45 in the morning, and 4:30 in the morning, and then if work comes at 8, you know, they have to be in charge there as well. So there's something that God went in this giving of himself to this task that mothers have. And then the verse at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew that I think is worth looking at, Matthew 1, verse 23. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. How does God choose to introduce the new era of grace to mankind? Through a baby, through a mother. A mother is chosen to actually give birth to the Son of God. God could have done whatever he chose to do. This was, to the Jews, this was a scandalous idea that God would do something as earthy as become a baby. and come to the world, come into the world through a 9-month pregnancy and the difficulty of childbirth. The Jews really had a hard time thinking that Almighty God, whose name is so holy they can't pronounce it, would do something as lowly as this. And yet, in God's perfection and perfect strategy, what he does is choose to introduce to us one who understands how we are, understands our weakness, and he brings a baby into the world through this mother, through Mary. And, you know, I mean, it's really something only God could have managed to come up with. What's more disarming and attractive than a baby? What is the instant thing every woman will say when she sees a little baby? Oh, why? There's an attraction. There's something in the innocence and the sweetness of this little child who hasn't yet grown up to do anything that needs to get punished. And so they're just sweetness. And maybe it's because they're not theirs that's also sweet. You know, it's like, I'm glad it's you, honey. That's what my mother used to say when she'd see little mothers with little babies. Like, glad it's you doing this now, not me. But so Jesus comes through this plan that shocks everyone, that comes and looks like, from an earthly standpoint, is ill-prepared, ill-timed, out of whack with everything that is socially acceptable. Joseph and Mary end up in Bethlehem where there's no room and it's cold, and she ends up in a cave or a stable or a barn or something like that, which none of us would want for our children or grandchildren. But God has chosen it for this very thing. And so when we go back to this provision of Jesus, when Jesus says at the end of Matthew 28, I am with you always to the very end of the age, it's a very specific thing also, I think, as it applies to moms, that he's made himself and is making himself and will make himself available 24/7 at those most difficult moments when you are so sleep deprived and you're, as they would say in France, they're on their last nerve and you just can't take any more. The understanding that Jesus is right there and he's making possible your perseverance, your continuing, even when you feel like you can't do it anymore. So this promise that he's right there through the demands of raising little children. So this first thing is, the first thing that he gives mothers is himself. Now there's a snare. There's always a snare as we walk through this Christian life with our flesh not far behind. And so the snare is, for women, I believe, it's to depend on self. To say, I have grit, I have determination, I have inner steel, and I'm just going to make this thing work. And so the snare, instead of going to Jesus, recognizing we need his help, we need him there, the enemy would love to lie and say, basically, he's not going to help you. And so push you away from dependence on him so that you're depending on self trying to get this thing done. The problem with that is you quickly come to the end of your resources and you can't take it. And you get bitter and discouraged, and lots of other things happen that are pretty negative and pretty dark. So the first provision is Jesus. The snare in that is you can depend on self to get the job done. Now the second thing, the O, is overcoming. God has given, specifically in the task of child rearing, he's given overcoming, I believe, to women. And again, this isn't just for women, just for mothers. But I think it specifically applies to what we're looking at today, this love-fueled life, what God has given for us to share. Moms always share. moms share, even if it means they don't get their portion. It's always, oh, were you going to eat that last cookie? And she will, mothers pretty much always lie and say, oh, no, you can have it. Even if that was the only one and she hadn't had any others. At least that's what my mother would do. Well, until we get older, and then she'd slap our fingers and tell us to get our dirty paws off that cookie. But when we were little, she was a little more gentle. And so overcoming, in 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, the spirits in the world, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you, Jesus, is greater than the one who is in the world. So as overwhelming as the circumstances might be, the provision is he's made us overcomers. In John 16:33, Jesus says, in the world you'll have trouble, but take heart. And why does he say take heart? I have overcome the world. Jesus says, the one who is your provision, Jesus, has overcome the world. He's made us to overcome. He's made us to understand through John and 1 John 4:4 that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Have you ever been lied to and kind of feel like the enemy has the upper hand? Do you ever feel like maybe with God we're losing because it seems like the enemy is just unchained and unleashed in our presence and it seems like nothing good is happening? And so the enemy would love to lie on that area and help us to forget that the one who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And then this phenomenal passage in Romans chapter 8. Just a few years ago, we were doing a series of what we were calling Bible Speak at the time. And the ladies, a group of ladies in the church, memorized this passage. And it's so familiar, we've referred to it three or four times already this morning. I'd like to read it because this is part of the overcoming aspect, the overcoming strength that God has given mothers specifically. In Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those who called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, didn't we sing this morning? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? In other words, if God justifies, nobody can condemn. Nobody has the authority to condemn. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every mother would be well instructed to memorize that passage, to write it down, post it at strategic places when things seem to get out of control, when the kids seem to have a mind of their own, if you have any that do. It's good to look at this and say, if God is for us, who can be against us? There is an overcoming that we have been given. And so he promises that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Jesus says himself, I have overcome the world. And now he's made us more than conquerors, Paul says. Now here's the snare. The snare is the enemy will come in like a lie and make you feel overwhelmed. Not an overcomer, but being overwhelmed. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I have too many things to do. And one of the ways, one of the facilities the enemy has is because, ladies, you have the ability to multitask. You have the ability, sometimes it's a blessing and sometimes maybe it's a curse, you think of every responsibility you have all the time. So if you're at work, you think of your responsibilities at home, you think of your husband, you think of your children wherever they are, you think of your parents, you think of that laundry that needs to be picked up, and all these things are constantly present. That's why you can switch back and forth, and that's why you can cook and talk on the phone and talk to the kids and, you know, multitask and answer the door and do all of these things at the same time, whereas guys can't. We have to do one thing at a time, and even then we get mixed up sometimes. But God has created you with this ability to have all of these things, and so the enemy wants to lie, because God's provision is you're an overcomer. He's made you competent and capable of doing all these things. But the enemy would go, oh, no, that's too much. You can't do that. And so he puts in this lie that it's unfair. People ask too much. People never know when to stop. People keep pushing in. People disregard and disrespect my boundaries. And the next thing you know, you're just submerged with all of this stuff that comes with trying to run a household and run, keep children in line and keep husbands happy and do all the other things that need to be done. So the snare is that there's an overwhelming sense of, I can't do this. And so he loves to inflict mothers with, I'm a failure, I'm not a good mom, I've really messed up, and here are all the proofs, all the difficulties I experienced that prove I'm not a good mom. All of that's a lie from the enemy. Because what God is doing, God has come to mothers specifically in this situation and said, no, you've been given overcoming power. You are made more than a conqueror. And so what is yours to do, I'm equipping you to do. You don't need to be overwhelmed. Need to come to me, your first provision, Jesus. And then when you come to me, you'll see that you're an overcomer. You have all that you need. Some people say, well, I'm not naturally much of a mom. I don't really feel much like a nurturer, etc. God provides everything you need in that sense. He makes it available to us as we go through our journey together. So, made an overcomer, but the snare of the overcomer is to feel overwhelmed. And then once the enemy gets in there, we really need to get back to the Word to remind us, get back to Jesus to say, what's the truth in my situation? You know, and I'm not overwhelmed. I am still the overcomer he's called me to be. And number three, the why is, and this is, I love this, yieldedness. He's given ladies, moms specifically, yieldedness. Your primary task as a mother is to nurture. How loud is nurturing? There was a quote in the paper yesterday from Dear Abby, and she says, if we want to make sure that our children turn out all right, spend twice as much time with them and half as much money. And I kind of like that, because your presence with your children is far more precious and far more important to them than any money you ever spend on them. And when they get to a certain age, it may not feel like that or sound like that, but it is definitely true. So yieldedness is something God has given. Look at the Psalm 131. David says in Psalm 131, my heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. How many times have we witnessed, have you experienced it personally, a child absolutely screaming out of control? The mother picks them up and holds them, and what happens to the screaming? It's just like somebody flips off a switch. That child now, for whatever reason the crying was happening, It's all better because they're near the source. They're near the one who is the answer to that problem, whether it's hunger or fear or separation or just over fatigue or whatever. But, I mean, I'm always amazed at that, how quickly this absolutely out of control screaming just stops. And they just snuggle in, and it's just like, that's all I wanted. It was so simple. And so the psalmist recognizes that even as an adult. He says, you know, I just don't concern myself with things too big. I don't allow myself to get upset with them. He said, but I have chosen to still and quiet my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. That place of satisfaction and comfort and quiet, and everything is right with the world. And so there's something about yieldedness, being able to be still, being able to be quiet, that a mother gives to her children. And so, you know, something that we've got in our society today with this frenetic pace we have, and there are all these reports of the hurried child never gets a chance to just play and be and hang out and do their own thing. They're always being shuttled off to one activity after another. And, you know, most of us, if, you know, we didn't have all of those things, and my mother didn't even drive. So, you know, we were impoverished children who had to depend on our imaginations. And I really never noticed that we were missing anything. I'm sure our imaginations were wilder than anything that could have been purchased at the store. So then there's a verse in Isaiah 30, verse 15. It's a negative context, but there's a beautiful truth revealed in the middle of a very difficult season. It's this one of the chapters of woes to the obstinate nation. But in verse 15, it says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. Of course, they were the obstinate people. But here in verse 15, there's a beautiful truth of what God has made available, and especially in our context, to mothers. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Rest. In quietness and trust is your strength. Nurturing is a time-rich endeavor. It takes a lot of time. You know, one of the things I've heard before with especially mothers of little ones, they feel like they're wasting their time playing on the floor all day long when the housework doesn't get done. Or, you know, just having children who just want to hang on them and they can't get any work done. You know, I think having children hang on you and fall asleep in your arms and you're stuck in the armchair while your child has a nap, sometimes it's probably the most valuable thing you could do all day long, and not to be upset about it. Just quiet yourself and say, I'm providing quietness and rest, and I'm illustrating for my child that this is possible, that this is a good thing. So God has given yieldedness just the sense of, it isn't my responsibility to do it all. I'm going to do what I can do. And, of course, this spills over into lots of our other circumstances as well. But that particular one, you know, I believe this in quietness and trust is your strength. There's greatness in just not running all over the place all the time, but just having a peace in our spirit that we can pass on to children. So the snare in this one, the snare for yieldedness is striving. Not allowing that quiet place, because in our culture, if it doesn't produce something we can quantify, we think it's a waste of time. And so we think, I need to be doing something. I need to have something to show at the end of my day. And one of the comics the other day was great too. The guy was coming home and he was calling his wife, and she was, you know, like, oh, sounded really exhausted. And he says, you had quite a day? And she goes, yeah. He says, so what's been going on? She says, I'm trying to finish breakfast. And the breakfast cereal and the milk is all over the floor. The baby's playing with the Cheerios. And it's time for dinner. And so, you know, it's just like, oh, one of those. But so striving, though, is just such a... Don't you hate striving? Don't you hate getting into that? And it's just like, I have got to make this happen. It's kind of like the same with self. You know, we just... It feels like, well, God's not doing it fast enough, so I'm going to do it myself. And we usually make a mess of things. But the striving is an unquietness in our soul, inside. I have to get this done. There's so much to be done. I'm going to be considered a failure. People are going to be upset with me. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be making demands. And it's this inner yang thing that's going on in your head that causes this lack of stillness, lack of quiet, and we're pushed out, we're encouraged to move away from the yieldedness because that doesn't seem productive sometimes. And we move into this striving. And so, and this, I didn't even plan on this one, but my three snares that I have spell SOS. Self, overwhelmed, and striving. And so I think there's a warning. There's a danger there for all of us, but it's specifically as we're looking at moms today. The provision that God has made, he's given himself to you on a 24/7 basis with the Holy Spirit to teach and to guide. And that's so you're never by yourself with your children. You're never alone with the parenting difficulties and struggles and whatever. You're never alone even when you've blown it and you have meted out a punishment that was a little over the edge, over the top. God is there, and there is forgiveness, and there is restoration. And I'm sure we've all had those kind of situations to deal with. But he gives that. He gives overcoming. So as you face all the challenges of elevating, raising children, and taking care of the household, etc., God has made it possible so that you never have to feel overwhelmed. That's a lie of the enemy. And we come to Jesus for his provision, for his help, for his intervention, and then yieldedness, this absolutely sweet place where you take a nap in the middle of the afternoon and you just praise God for it because it's the most wonderful and restorative thing you've ever done and don't associate any guilt with it. Now, if you've got four little ones who are preschoolers, your nap is probably a thing of the past, but there is something that God gives and equips women, and he wants them to have joy because raising children is the most joy-filled activity ever with all its challenges. But we celebrate mothers today because the original showing of God's love to a child in the early years through the mother. The mother is the one they connect with. Sometimes even the dad comes home after work and the child doesn't want to go to dad. The child wants to go to mom. Of course, she's the one who has the food. So, you know, dad is just there along for the ride, I guess. But, you know, the mother is the one who exemplifies God's love. God's love and bathes that child for years in his love. So that we'll never forget it. That's the challenge that is ours. And so I just added this verse out of 1 Peter 1:8. You love him even though you have never seen him, though you do not see him, you trust him, and even now you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. That's my prayer for all our mothers here this morning, that in your task, regardless of what stage your mothering is in, or whether it's a soon-to-be event, that God would fill you with his joy, this inexpressible joy that is only yours, that I don't even think fathers can really understand. I don't think there's any way to communicate it fully enough to a father to understand the bond that is there with the mother and her child. And so God bless you, because it's a huge challenge for which he has fully equipped you. He smiles at you, and he believes that your task is very much a demonstration of his love to the world. So God bless you as we finish up here today. I want to bless you and then give you an opportunity to come up and get your flower that represents this beautiful task that you've been given. Father, we come and we thank you that you provide. When you give us a calling, when you give us a vocation, when you call a woman to be a mom, there's an equipping. You flood in with every possible thing that could be needed and required in the accomplishing of that glorious task. So I pray for each of our moms here and our moms to be, and just a blessing, Father, that you have chosen them. And they live within this grace that you make available to them as they take on this very holy calling. So I pray that they would know that you are with them to the very end of the age, that they would be convinced in their heart of hearts that they are overcomers, and that they have a very special place in your heart to be yielded and quiet and still, luxuriating even in this task of nurturing these little ones and not so little ones. So thank you for this day. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for these love-fueled lives that you have called us to as we celebrate today. Father, we give you praise for your plan and the way you've worked it out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.